Great. I am Susan Young, chair of the KPFT Local Station Board. We are convening the June 14th, 2023 meeting of the Local Station Board, starting at 7:04. Let me just first say that, we are fortunate to have a new member on our roster, and that is Joseph Davis. Welcome. We want to thank Cassandra Thibodeau for the work that she's done, including, generously offering the use of 14 pews. Just a general note, I will request for information, calls for information, questions are all in order. Yelling is not. Okay. I'd like to mention who has requested excused absences. Those are Lillian Kerr, Deborah Shafto, Bill Stone, Ted Weisgall, and Venetia Williams. Are there any objections?
Frank Pratka sent in a...
Frank is on.
He's on? Okay.
He's on.
The call. Yeah, there he is. There he is. I see him down there. Okay.
Are there any objections?
Madam Chair, may I speak?
Can you repeat the names? I didn't hear. I'm sorry. Either.
Sure. Lillian Kerr, Deborah Shafto, Bill Stone, Ted Weisgall, Venetia Williams.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? This is Joseph Davis.
Yes. Yes, Joseph. Joseph, we're taking the roll now, okay? All right, hearing no objections, Mr. Secretary, please take the roll.
Okay. Allen? Britton?
Present.
Thank you. Care? No, you got it. Cassinet?
Present.
Thank you. Davis?
I'm present.
Thank you. Foy? Faust? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here. Faust is here.
I got a mental block there. Gardner?
Fine.
Gardner? Robert? James?
Here.
Thank you. Lewis?
Madam Chair, may I speak? Mike Lewis is going to be late.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Locander?
Here.
Thank you. Martinez?
Here.
Thank you. McPherson?
I am.
Thank you, sir. Pratka?
Present.
Thank you, sir. Sabar Naratomi? Nancy, you here? Scheidler?
Here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Here.
Thank you. Richard Uzel's here. Weinman.
Present.
Thank you. Willie's. Willie's.
Let me comment that he noted that he may have been requesting an excuse absence, that he was having trouble with Zoom. So he may not be able to join Young.
Okay. Young.
Yes.
You got a quorum, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Adriana?
Yes.
I think that I saw an email from Robert Gardner saying that he will kind of be late, tried to be in the meeting, but he was having something else. I don't know if you saw it. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I may have missed it, but that's fine that we recognize that.
He appears to be on.
Excuse me?
He appears to be on the call, Robert Gardner.
Yes, he does. Thank you. Okay. The agenda has been provided to everybody in advance. Call to order, roll call, agenda approval, minutes approval, staff recognition, IGM report, Pacifica National Board reports, public comment at 8, KPFT community engagement. That'll be a CPB application report from Stephanie Wells, the CAB presentation from PK, and then I'll make a brief mention about town hall preparations, KPFT LSB committees and task forces, committee of inclusion, MSRC, finance, governance, outreach and development, grants task force, fundraising task force, unfinished business none, new business none, next meeting adjourned. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any objection?
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right. Next item up is minutes approval. They have been circulated.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Richard. I would like to move the approval of the May 10th, 2023 minutes.
Is there a second?
I have a issue with that.
Who's that? Who's speaking?
This is Frank Pratka. I requested an excused absence on May the 3rd for that May 10th meeting.
So, Mr. Pratka, that's fine. You're requesting an amendment, but let's second the motion to approve and then offer your amendment.
All right.
And I recall that you did, and that was my error. Okay. Is there any objection to approval of the minutes with the amendment that shows Frank Pratka with an excused absence? All right, hearing none, those minutes are approved. 1438, you have a question?
Yes, this is Nancy Cyber and I told me I'm just checking in.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
Welcome. Okay, staff recognitions.
This is Wally. I would like to recognize Robin because she did so much work during this past fund drive, and I really appreciate everything she did.
Amen.
I would like to thank basically all of the programmers. People are really stepping up, doing an amazing job. Grateful that we exceeded the fund drive, the prior one, but getting close this time is a very, very important accomplishment. And it took everybody working very hard to do that. And I see that Teresa Allen has joined the call.
Okay.
Are there other staff recognition comments?
I'd like to
IGM report. And by the way, at any time, staff recognition is an appropriate thing to bring up. Sandy, please, IGM.
Thank you. Let me start by recognizing Howard Reynolds and Mo Thomas, who Friday night worked nonstop to correct an AT&T issue, first diagnose and then correct, just in time to make sure the prison show is able to go live. So above and beyond on a Friday night, if there ever was one. And so forth with Howard, who's been struggling with the power and the electrical storms we've been having, putting in a lot of extra effort. Every one of the people that on the staff really needs your thank yous because it's still a very thin staff. That includes the volunteer staff. Well, as Susan alluded to, we did 93% on our May fund drive. I suspect it was a few dollars more that were credited to the resumption of the 52 for 52 campaign. All in all, it was a very solid showing. We had an initiative to increase our sustaining dollars, and we did just that by about $1,500 a month. That's a lot of money on a monthly basis. You can multiply that by 12 and see that We did around $20,000 or so in sustaining pledges altogether. So it was a very good effort. And at the same time, we received enough of cash up front or complete pledges to fund us all the way into August. So we're doing really well. The 52 for 52 campaign is succeeding. The benefit with Grand Peoples was a lot of fun, raised a few hundred dollars. We're going to be doing more as we unfold. But all in all, we're in very, very good shape. So during the month of May, everybody's efforts were consumed with the fund drive, and that had a very successful conclusion. And again, thanks to everybody. Susan, Darrow, Garrett gathered the tickets. Robin kept us well informed and did a lot of pitching on the air with Susan. In fact, all the programmers seemed to be sharing in that burden this time. And it was a very much a team-oriented effort to reach that 93%. If you recall, we had the thing with the Senate and the debt ceiling, and everybody in the audience, or a lot of our seniors, were wondering if they were going to see another Social Security check. It not only held our totals down, but we saw evidence of this in D.C. and Berkeley. So making the percentage we did, really good. On May 23rd, the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center rolled a big van up and collected 11 units of blood. They were very happy with that total, and they said they want to come back. So sometime in the future, we'll do it again. Roll up your sleeves, save a life. On the next day, the 24th, my granddaughter's birthday, we held an on-air birthday celebration, not for my granddaughter, but for Bob Dylan. And we did that broadcast along with WPFW and KPFA. So it was a three-city broadcast, and each city had a musician covering Bob Dylan tunes in their studio while we were pitching. All three of us were in Fun Drive. And in our studio, we had Shelley King, Marsha Ball, and Carolyn Wonderland. And I don't know how much money it raised altogether, the 3 hours. My take was it was no better or worse than we would have done otherwise. But we did see an increased listenership, and everybody that participated agreed it was a whole lot of fun. It was good to see that collaboration. Turning back to thank yous, I mentioned Mo before. I'm going to mention him again, along with Bill Crozier and Howard Reynolds, and also Stuart Nance, who made more refinements to the HD1 and HD2 studios. Those that are on the call that participate in studio working the board or doing shows, you've seen some of the evidence of that. And we're getting closer and closer to really good, smooth operation in the HD1 studio. And the HD2 studio is now ready to go do broadcasts. So all you HD2 programmers, let's go. Let's do it live. I want to thank Marlo Blue. This week she started the quarterly FCC report. In fact, she was good to go almost, because during the last few months, she's been collecting the data that would be needed at this very moment. So instead of a hardcore dive and scramble to try to meet a deadline, she was well prepared, and I appreciate that. Also, she's continuing to schedule and make sure that we're training board operators for calls. I've met 3 or 4 new volunteers just in the last week that are on that path. So happily, we're seeing a lot of people step up out of the community asking for airtime, asking for participation in terms of operations, the board, et cetera. And I think we're really developing a good group that can carry forward here. Speaking of studio operations, we have this music server that Howard put in. I admit I'm using this on my broadcast, and so are many other programmers. It's making ease of operation and the whole total sound of the station so much better. And again, Howard did this on his own initiative. He even put together the computer that using for this and located the software. Guy's an asset beyond belief. In terms of underwriting, I have nothing new to report. It's a trickle. We still don't have any commission-based salesmen, commission only, but we'll be working on that now that Fund Drive's over. One big thank you I got to send out is to Susan Young and the Capital Campaign Committee, Rob Lee, who came up with the idea of these memory bricks. This was a beautiful thing. We were receiving rather large pledges in our world for a 4x8 or 8x8 brick. Robin will be contacting the people that got these. We were asking again for a $25 a month or $50 a month sustaining pledge, small brick, big brick. And we will have the inscriptions on those, and they're going to go right along the sidewalk leading up to our front door on Caroline Street. And we're going to continue that program. It's actually a very big initiative. I can talk more about sustaining pledges and the goal of $25,000 a month. Right now, we're about $15,000 a month. And I've got some plans to try to get there faster than we would just by doing this one fund drive at a time, i.e. courting major donors to do significant monthly pledges. So we'll see how far we get. If we get to $25,000 a month, folks, these fund drives are going to get a whole lot easier. One of them will even go away. On June 2nd, Grant Peoples, thanks to Tim Leatherwood and the loan of Anderson Fair, did a KPFT benefit. It was attended by around 25 people, a pretty good crowd in there, considering what Anderson Fair is. If you've been there, it's a very small venue. So good crowd for the room, and he did a wonderful benefit for us. Thank you, Grant Peoples, and also thank you to Susan Darrow, Robin Lewis, Dyke Conkling, and Augie, who were all there to help out that evening, as well as enjoy that very fun show. I also want to thank Rob Lee. We recently had a Buffalo Bayou cruise, and 21 people, a full boatload, took that cruise. And everybody that came off that boat, just grinning ear to ear, no one got seasick. And we're going to do that again, I hope. That was a whole lot of fun and raised some money during Fun Drive. These were very effective, both in terms of raising a few bucks during Fun Drive. They weren't T-shirts. They weren't tickets to shows. These were done under our own steam. So good stuff, really good stuff. In terms of programming, of course, in April, we shuffle things all up. Come July, there'll be another shakeup, not nearly as big as the one we just saw, but a couple of tweaks. One, especially Saturday morning. Jill Morgenstern, who does Bayou Brew, due to circumstances beyond her control, will not be able to do that program at least for a while. So we're going a different direction, and we'll have those announcements shortly once we have everything all lined up and all vetted. But we got some real exciting stuff to come on Saturday morning. And then there'll be a couple of other minor changes to the schedule, but not anything like we saw in April or even back in January. Listenership, according to the website called Radio Insights, increased month over month from 89,800 to 98,100. So we saw an increase in listenership. Our market share remains at 0.3. And I'm struggling a little bit looking at that data to figure it out, because that cumulative listenership of 98,100, similar other stations can brag close to a 1 share, 1.0. So why are we so low? I don't know. But those are the numbers that I'm reporting. In terms of community outreach, I want to thank Mr. McKinney for the history bus. It's a fun thing. Tell your friends, $75 a ticket goes to support us. And people that have done that tour seem to be very happy about that as well. As I said, the blood bank was a tremendous opportunity. And if anybody on this call rolled up their sleeve, thank you on behalf of everyone in the human race. So when it rolls around again, don't be shy. As I said, Rob Lee really did arrange that Buffalo Bayou cruise. So thank you, Rob. We're talking about other plans going forward. We're going to be participating in the Watermelon Dance and Summer Social at the Cottonwood Club, July 22nd. We'll have a table. Volunteers are welcome. And per Robin's report, which is attached to mine, and you really need to get into that, to get into a lot of the meat of the matter to figure out what's going on. membership increased by 400 people and to 2,800 total. So good stuff there too. Our website's been updated, new features, and we've added a summer intern to help with social media needs and also another one for board operations. In terms of our fiscal health, it's excellent. After we pay our June bills, we will have as much as $160,000 of operating cash, exclusive of restricted funds. And restricted funds include a recent stock gift and matching grant from the Brown Foundation. And that's to be used for studio operations. So studio operations comprise a lot of our bills, such as tower rental, et cetera, new equipment. So that money, while it's marked restricted, will go a long way to help us with our day-to-day needs as we the time elapses toward our next fund drive in August. Credit card balance remains paid off month to month. I mentioned the 53 for 53 campaign. The goal on that was $53,000. I just had Robin up that because we didn't anticipate restarting it. So it's now going to be $100,000. Currently we're at $50,000. And before anybody freaks out, the monthly sustaining pledges, and there'll be two more months till the next fund drive that will be credited to this campaign, will produce $30,000 in and of it by itself. So that is a goal we should make. 53 for 53. Ask your friends. If you haven't done it, please donate $53, especially if you haven't donated monetarily this fiscal year. Thanks to Teresa, Rob Lee, Augie, and all the others that Teresa brings along for calling lapsed donors. We can keep that activity up just as long as Teresa and company are willing to do it. It's very helpful. If you recall, when we built the studios, we had a couple of contractors. One of them was A&D Paint and Remodeling. This week, they installed another fire crash safety door on the side of the building with a closer. We were having problems with people leaving that door open, using it as entrance or exit. It's not really supposed to be for that. So we have a more secure situation in that when you open that door, it will close behind you and lock. It's not an entrance. Okay, so that's done. They also put a proper door on the HD2 studio, a foam metal door that does a good job with acoustic isolation. They also put a door on our IT closet upstairs so it can be more secure than just an open room. That's all done. And we're going to be installing what's termed a micro split. I think we used to call them window box air conditioners. It's a wall unit, a small unit for the HD1 control room. When we built the studios and erected the walls, it screwed up the airflow downstairs. And we're going to put this small unit in. Between the work that A&D just completed and what I anticipate will be around a $3,500 project cost, the money that we received when we sold the 419 Lovett property in escrow will be consumed. We're on our own for any additional improvements. So it was use it or lose it. And the way I understood it had to be by a year anniversary. Well, here we are. So we made it under the deadline. Since we're funding so well, since we owe KPFA roughly $25,000 for a transmitter that was purchased when Dwayne Bradley was the GM around 2015 or so, we are going to be making a $5,000 payment to KPFA on or about July 1st, and we'll continue to pay off that debt that we incurred for this digital transmitter that allows us to have HD1 and HD2, a great investment, and we should be happy that we have it. Finally, on June 24th, we're going to do a building dedication. Anise Parker will be present to cut a ribbon, come on the air, say some words. A few other people will be speaking. Well, we will be doing this 9 to noon in what is now Bayou Brew. Jill won't be there. She's out of town. And David Britton has graciously agreed to come in and, you know, host in terms of music. and will keep the people flowing through the studio. Attached to my report is Robin's report. I really, really urge you to take a look at that, okay? During our finance committee recently, Ted asked, well, how much does the mail campaign bring in? All of that is enunciated in this very detailed report that Robin does every month for us. A lot of those questions that you might have may be answered just by reading Robin's report. So please take a look at that. It provides a complete breakdown on all our funding drives and how we're doing. One thing I want to emphasize about this report, for FY23, we've already brought in $519,000 or more, actually more than that now. And I think our total funding goal was, I wrote it down, for this year was $534,489. So we have one more fund drive. We have the monthly sustainers coming, pledges coming in. We exceeded our revenue goal for the year, or will, which is a very good thing. Everything says more listeners, better funding. I think we're going in the right direction. I'll take questions. Adriana, you got your hand up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have two questions. First, I don't know if you say it, but it's a lot of background noise and I cannot hear some, it's with noise, but can you repeat the membership that we have now?
Sure. And again, it's enumerated in Robin's report, right at the top of her report. The membership count as of June 12th was 2,741.
Okay. And the second thing, I explained it before, but you say something about the money that returning to KPFA for that loan. Well, the money need to be returned to the national office because KPFA, the $100,000 that KPFA originally sent to KPFT was in the account, they put it in the account of money that they owe to the national office. They discount that. That's why since then we were supposed to, KPFT supposed to return that money to the national office and not to KPFA, because KPFA took that like payment for what they owe the national office. Okay. But I can give you the information later on, but, that is how that works. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. Anybody else?
Mike Lewis is aboard.
Nancy.
Welcome, Mike.
Sorry it took me a while. We had a brownout failure in my part of town with power, so now I've got power.
Glad you're here.
Nancy,
are there more questions, Nancy?
Yeah, I think the membership, I'm glad we got 400, but the total is almost the same as the, you know, before the fund drive. So we are getting people, but we're not keeping them. That tells me that should be more than 3,200. So 2,800, Robin always adds around 400 more. Because some of these addresses, these 2,800 addresses, have two members living in it. So just on an estimate, she adds 400. That's 3,200. That's about the same as the month before the fund drive. So we have to do more something, either outreach, and I'm sure we need to do outreach because we're getting, but we're not keeping.
Nancy, if you go back to the May report, there's a Robin reported in May membership totals. You can compare.
I was expecting a bigger number than 3,200. Anyway, and then the HD 210 shows, they need to be some kind of diary, some bookkeeping about the episodes, because I'm hearing the same episodes repeated. I think the one with Thomas Jefferson yesterday, I think that's the third or fourth time this year I've heard that same show. It's a good show, but I'm sure there are better, you know, we're doing something careless, or either the other side is doing something careless to have the same show so many times. The other thing is the Nautel transmitter that we are using. We bought that in 2014, and it was loaded up on the trailer on Labor Day 2014. Just want to let you know, it wasn't 2015.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yes, one more question. You said from the sale, the leftover money from the sale of the Lovett property, that the counsel, the contracted lawyer, what's his name, Schwartz, Arthur Schwartz, was keeping that leftover money. And you're saying today that it's been used up, or what?
As of now, there's a $7,000 balance. However, there's a $4,500 invoice against that. And the work that we're going to do mounting this additional AC unit will consume the rest of what's there. About $2,400 will be left after payment of this invoice to A&D. And that project's going to be $3,500. So we'll dip into our account to accomplish what needs to be done. It needs to be done. But okay. At that point, Nancy, at that point, the money will be consumed.
I see.
Jane, you had had your hand up before Adriana did. Did you want to ask something? No. Okay. Adriana?
Yes, I'm sorry, Sandy. I don't know if maybe you need to talk to Otis, I don't know who, but when you open the Pacifica Foundation website, when you click KPFT, is still the old address, the 419 Lovett. I think that they should update that. It's the old.
Well, if that's on the Pacifica website, they need to get, I guess, yeah, we need to get them to correct that. We have no control over that, Adriana.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Nancy, is that a legacy hand? Or are you asking again?
No. Yeah, I'm asking again. Yes, this is a mistake that happened, and it was corrected before. So this is the second time to hear the same mistake of our installment payment going to KPFA when it should be going to the national office. And this is, and what Adriana was saying earlier, I remember that very clearly, and Teresa was on the PNB. She should remember that also. That was a big mistake. That money should have gone to, that money was not KPFA's money to begin with. Somebody accidentally.
Nancy.
Sent the check to the.
Nancy, KPFA. I'm going to ask you to stop, because that has already been explained by Adriana, and we do not need to go over it again.
Yes.
All right. The next agenda item is Nancy.
Same mistake.
Nancy, I will call you out of order.
Is a lot of money.
I am citing Nancy Saibara-Narotomi for wasting time and repeating and shouting. So, Mr. Secretary, will you please put that in the minutes?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. The next item up is the budget.
Madam Chair, Teresa Allen for the STAC.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you have called Nancy Saibara-Narotomi out of order. Does she want to appeal the decision of the chair?
Adriana wants.
So, Adriana, you wish to appeal the decision of the chair?
Yes, Madam Chair. She was trying to explain. She's on the phone.
Okay, so
we don't, other people interrupt and keep repeating and nothing happened. Can we be a little bit more laid back and okay? That's my.
Madam Chair, I would like to speak to support the chair's decision.
Go ahead.
I understand that sometimes people interrupt, but I think that some of Nancy's in her enthusiasm, she is she's repeatedly arguing with the chair. So when the chair says you're out of order or we're going to move on, I don't know about you, but I intend to immediately stop and think about what I'm doing, because the chair is just trying to protect about 20 people on this call. So I do think that I would appeal the decision of the chair to find her out of order. And if it's, and if it continues, then I think she might need to be censured, or there might need to be other actions taken.
Okay, I guess Nancy, then Adriana, then Sister Mama Sonia.
I think that Sister Mama, oh, okay, do you want me to, Sister Mama Sonia, I think that was, I don't know. You are calling me your sister.
Oh, do you want me to speak?
You put your hand up. Do you wish to speak?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay,
I do not.
Go ahead.
I am speaking on behalf of Nancy. I did not hear her being disrespectful or yelling at all. And I just think we need to show some more grace when people are trying to just get an explanation or hear what's going on. So I really did not see her being out of order at all at this time.
Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair, I agree with Sister Mama Sonia, and we need to remember that you gave her the floor. When somebody's speaking, and in this case, you went in the middle of her speaking, she had the floor. We can have the, you know, being nice and let the people speak, and when they finish it, well, you know, that is not important, whatever. But when you go over the people that you already gave the floor, you cannot punish people because trying to finish what they are saying. I think that is not nice, and it's not apply. You know, the law is if apply equal to everybody, it will be nice, but it's not, and we know it. And we can listen to the audios before and see that. I hope that we are more nicer, and we are spending a lot of time in this issue when we could be going on. Okay, thank you.
Teresa?
I would like to speak again to support the chair. Nancy Saibaranaritomi or any member who repeats, the chair has the right and the responsibility to say, you're repeating, we need to move on. We have limited time. We have lots of important business, and I have especially appreciated the reports that we have received so far. But repeating things, and when the chair sees that, I think we need to honor that. Also, speaking over the chair is like yelling. And when the chair says something and a person actually continues speaking, that's not acceptable. The chair has a right to call, to give a person, say, okay, you'd like to say something. But when the chair hears that that person is repeating something or saying something that's off topic, the chair has a right to say you are out of order. That is offensive to the whole body. So I would encourage people to support the chair in this matter.
Richard?
Yes, I've heard Adriana say a couple of times that, well, she had the floor. You know, just because a person has the floor doesn't mean they can go off at high decibels, or like Teresa just said, when the person chairing the meeting says, okay, that's enough, you know, let's call this to order. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be quiet and come to order, because we're always talking about we should have decorum and stuff. And when you get into shouting matches with the chair, decorum goes out the window.
Thank you. I think there are two more who wish to speak, Nancy and Sister Mama Sonia.
Yes, the new point that I wanted to say, I don't know if you caught it or not, but in 2019, a mistake was made. And the business manager told us she was told and ordered by Nita to send that installment payment to KPFA and not to the national office. This is a mistake, Chair, because the PNB already corrected that mistake. Now,
Chair, I object. Point of order.
Somebody's interrupting. Do I have the floor?
No.
You do not have the floor because you are not speaking to the point of order. You are speaking to the content that you are arguing. And so now we're going to go to a vote to sustain the chair. So a vote yes is to sustain the chair in calling Nancy out of order. A vote no is to oppose the chair in calling Nancy out of order.
I didn't get a chance to say what I wanted to say.
Okay, this is the vote.
Sorry, Richard. Let me just say, I'm sorry. Sister Mama Sonia, was there something you'd wanted to say?
All I'm speaking to this, what's going on. I still did not see any evidence of any screaming or yelling at the top of the voices or talking over. Can I finish? What I heard was someone trying to get an explanation or trying to understand what was going on, but I did not see any evidence of any yelling.
Thank you. Richard, please take the roll.
Okay.
Yes, you support the chair. No, you do not support the chair.
Alan?
Alan says yes.
Yes. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Casanave?
No.
No. Davis?
No.
No. Faust?
Yes.
Yes. Gartner? Robert?
Yes. No.
No, okay. James?
Yes.
Yes. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Locander?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez?
Yes.
Yes. McPherson?
Yes.
Yes. Pratka?
Yes.
Yes. Sabar Naratomi? Nancy? Come on, Nancy, we're doing a vote. Scheidler?
Yes.
Yes. Sonia?
I do not support the chair.
That's no, right?
Yes. I do not support the chair.
Okay. Uzel, yes. Weinman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Young?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Did I miss anybody? I don't think I did.
Nancy votes no. Anyone hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
I got you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
We can't not hear you.
Okay,
the chair is sustained. Ruling of the chair is sustained. Next item up is the budget. And it's 7:48. We have our public comment at 8. Let's get through as much of the budget as we can. And Sandy and Sean, will you take it up?
I guess you're asking the Finance Committee?
Yes. The Treasurer.
I'm sorry. I'm not looking at the agenda. I apologize. No, the Finance Committee has met twice in as many months. Most recently, last Wednesday, we considered at some length the budget proposal propounded by Markeisha and Sandy Weinman. I understand that some of the members who did not attend that meeting might have questions, but we voted to pass it on to the LSB with the recommendation that it be passed on to the PNB and ask its approval.
Is it possible, Sandy, to project it?
I don't know if I have the ability to share my screen or not. And this view I have, I'm not sure is going to be so helpful. I'm struggling with it myself. But let me comment that this year's budget is very similar to last year's budget. If you recall, last July 1, there were a couple of moving parts. One was I became the IGM. The second was that Markeisha Van Zandt moved off KPFT's payroll into the position of national finance manager. So we were offloaded from that salary, and with laying off others, Dr. Franklin, et cetera, we were able to lighten the load and become buoyant in terms of cash. We were supposed to raise this year $534,489. In fiscal 24, in the budget that Sean was talking about, we're to raise $578,855. Roughly 10% more than we did last year. Roughly 10% more. Where does the 10% go? We have a line in the budget that's marked contractors, which was basically we have one contractor on staff right now who is responsible for development and other activities. This plan, this budget, is pretty much identical to the one last year. The extra revenue goes to paying more contractors. Contractors in this definition are $15 an hour. Everybody that gets paid the same, $15 an hour. And this presupposes about 2.5 FTE equivalents, okay? So we could pay for board operations and have a constant drumbeat. We can pay for programming services. We can pay for management services. Remember, we're there every day, and so are some of these programmers. And with that goes the responsibility, in some cases, to make sure arrangements at home are okay so that those that are loved are taken care of and watched, pets included. It includes commuting expenses, parking expenses if need be, for the street. It includes a lot of things. So we're talking about initially 10 hours a week to those that are paid. So it's just a little bit of money to cover that, those basic expenses. So this budget predicts more revenue, and this budget predicts more expenditure. The increased expenditure is this line that reads contractors, which went from $2,500 a month to $7,000 a month. All else is about equal in this budget. We've got one FTE, that's Howard Reynolds. He's covered in this budget, and one contractor currently that we're expanding outward here, as I said, with this $15 an hour plan. I think this is doable. It also is within the limits of how we can predict next year's revenue, which is a 10% rule. We can't do any more than 10%. It restricts somebody coming in and saying, sure, we can hire all these people and we can pay for all this programming or just run up expenses as we need to, because we're going to get the money. It puts a governor on all of that. Hopefully fiscal 24 will be a really good year. And when we get to this time next year, we'll be talking about, again, another 10% increase and increasing our chances in terms of survival by branching out in terms of getting people involved on other than a purely volunteer basis. And I have to emphasize some things like scheduling. Howard Reynolds' time, a lot of it, is consumed with scheduling. It's got to be done. It's got to be done every day. You can't let it go, not just for one grid, but for two. That's how this operation keeps going forward. He needs some help. He also needs some backup. So that's one of the things that we're looking at, is getting him some help. Morning board operations is another one, to free up his time to do other things he really needs to be doing. Scheduling is very good, But when we're talking about the IT tools and making studio operations run better and better, the transmitter run better and better, Howard's time really and attention needs to be focused on many other items that, well, right now he can't get to. The scheduling always comes first. The show must go on. I would encourage you to vote for this budget. I think it shows a surplus at the bottom line of about $7,000, so just about break even on the positive side. It's a responsible budget. And also let me add the $15 an hour. Doesn't sound like a whole lot for a paid professional, for maybe a station manager or a program director. Not necessarily anything like we've done in the past. As we continue to look for people, this is what the station will bear currently. This is what the load will bear. And the $15 an hour says, I'm here because I need to be here. I want to be here. I'm driven to be here, not for the money. And certainly benefits don't apply either. We're all contractors, except for Howard. Okay.
So, Richard, you have your hand up.
Yes, I'd like to move the approval of this budget and send it on to the National Finance Committee.
Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Are there objections? Hearing Nancy. None, that is...
Nancy,
what's your question?
Yes, since I've been here at KPFT since 2009, December, I've attended all the Finance Committee meetings. And in that 14 years, I've only seen one document, financial document, one telephone bill, June of 2019. And I have asked and asked the business manager, I've asked the LSB that we should, as a committee, the Finance Committee, should have some documentation to check these figures on this spreadsheet. We've never done that. And so it's sort of like trusting blind. And we do have the manpower to check things. We can check much more if we had more than just one bill. And I think it's really insincere. It's almost like a ceremony. I mean, like we're coming together and we're just raising, okay, pass. But we haven't really checked anything, and we don't really understand it when you don't check these things.
Adriana?
Yes. I'm very sorry, but I want to abstain because really, I'm sorry, but I didn't have time to review the budget. Can you put me like an abstention? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So we're ready then to take a vote. Mr. Secretary, please take a vote on the budget.
Okay, Alan.
Sorry, Madam Chair, but if nobody else abstains or is against, I don't know if you need to go to a vote. Sorry.
I think Nancy objected.
Oh, okay.
Alan?
Alan says yes.
Yes. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Davis?
Abstain?
Abstain. Fouls?
Yes.
Yes. Gardner?
Abstain.
Abstain. James?
Yes.
Yes. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Locander?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez?
Yes.
Yes. McPherson? Sean? Tom Kelly?
I said yes. I'm sorry. Hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Thank you. Bradka?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Tabara Naratomi?
No.
No. Scheidler?
Yes.
Yes. Sonia?
Abstain. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Abstain, okay. Uzel, yes.
Weinman?
Yes.
Yes. Did Ted get here yet? No. Okay.
Egberto did get here.
He is here? Egberto, yes. How do you vote on this budget?
I just got in, so I don't know what we're voting on, so I'll have to abstain.
We're voting on the budget for the next time.
Oh, okay, fine. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Young?
Yes.
Yes. The count I have is 14 yes, 1 no, and 5 abstentions.
What was that count again?
Maybe been 4 abstentions. Let's see. 14, 1, 4.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's
ready to go. Thank you for repeating.
Yeah, so we're ready to go to the next item, which is right now we're at public comment.
Could I say something real quick, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would like to thank our small but powerful staff for putting this together and finding money where there is none and getting it done. And I think they're wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Now it is time certain, 8 o'clock, public comment. And I see PK is with us, but PK is going to be making a presentation about the CAB. So I wonder if there are others who wish to make public comment. PK, does that work for you that we hold you for the whole presentation with the CAB?
No, yes, that works for me.
Great, okay. Are there others who wish to speak in public comment? Okay, PK, why don't we go ahead and have your report if you're ready with it, and we'll just start that off right now.
Okay. Did you get the presentation, or you're letting me share it? It doesn't.
If you don't mind, it would be
okay.
Madam Chair.
Tom.
I do have my hand up for public comment.
I apologize for not recognizing you. Please. You're a member of the public. Go ahead.
I will give the time to my esteemed colleague. I will do my public comment at a later time today.
Okay.
Can you all see?
Yeah.
Okay. Over the years, I've always said that I am KPFT, which makes us all Pacifica. And when I was on the LSB, there just seemed to be so much strife that I just didn't feel like I was making any inroads or making a dent in the things that I thought were important to the community in which we all serve. And we're communities within communities. And so I've always said I am KPFT. We are Pacifica. And one of the things about what we did was that when I did the first town hall meeting after a couple of years and the first set survey, we came up with a matrix and some summaries, which I've given to the LSB. But what started happening is that other Pacifica stations start looking at our model of data-driven reporting and data-driven actions models to provide solutions that make a long-lasting difference in the community. And so there was kind of a thinking that, and when we talked to Stephanie Wells, I think she'll support me in this, and that is that when it comes to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, it's Pacifica overall that will get the money, and we share it, but we tend to be divided among from station to station. Nobody from the West wants to talk, have anybody from the East telling them what to do in their particular stations. But Pacifica is an organization. It's a nonprofit, and it's a national nonprofit. And we should be trying to partner and work together and build a coalition from station to station, along with all the other stations that are our subsidiary. Well, they aren't subsidiaries. They're kind of associates. So this is our goals. And from 2018 to today, these are kind of the individuals who have been pretty resilient. We've had three chairs. Stefania Thomas was one. Tanya Nick Smith, representing, you know, those who are handicapped, and Stefania, who is an activist for climate. Our current CAB members are, as you see here, I'm now the first time chair in the community advisory board, but the individuals who are pretty regular, have been the ones from the past. So the community advisory board is really just community driven, and anybody can come to our meetings. But the Pacifica CAB Council, and we made ourselves into a kind of council from KPFK, KPFA, WBAI, and WPFW. Now that doesn't mean that everybody from these stations are with having a CAB Council, but it's one of recommendations that we wanted to make as it related to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Because wouldn't it work if we were partners, or if we became sister stations for real? So the template that we used, and I won't go into all of this, but it continues to be the same: access and equity, social concerns, cultures within cultures. I mean, you know, right now we're a culture of dysfunction sometimes. And that's when people start not treating each other very well or playing in the sandbox very well. There are stories, and those stories they aren't white stories. They aren't black stories. They're community stories, and they're stories of Pacifica. And they go back long before some of us came to Pacifica, and some of us have been here long enough to see Pacifica become what it is today. But we're in the 21st century, and strengthening communication is our goal, along with what we think coming together as sister stations can make it a difference. So the recommendations for the completing the mission of Pacifica are to slowly but surely develop not only diversity and inclusion, which we have, mostly diversity, we're not very inclusive, but equity means that people get to share in leadership and share in the decisions that are being made, not being made by people who can count the number of people they have on your side, but the number of people who are for Pacifica. So the following is recommended, and that is: review the mission of Pacifica and create a mandate for following it. Provide access to the archives for our programmers and listeners, which includes placing archives on a platform that is accessible with a comprehensive search engine, and maybe in a way, if it's on Spotify or Apple Sound or any of the other platforms, that it could be bringing money into Pacifica. Develop a plan to eradicate an oppressive culture within each station. and identify and utilize the various audio and video platforms that would allow for better public access. Provide the station committees of cultural inclusion, programming, development, and outreach with the matrix to create plans to address the concerns of programmers and listeners. And that we have a process where we can respond to the public with the commitment of hearing what was said and addressing the needs of programmers and the public. It's the same from 2019 to today. So this is our case for creating a vehicle for addressing the concerns and needs of Pacifica, to create racial healing and harmony, creating a just society and culture, and developing future goals to support the mission of Pacifica. And as is my artistic practice, to create seventh generation strategies so that history will look more kindly on us than it does today. Any questions? I see a couple of my members, I think, that are here. But do you have any questions for me? And I hope you do. Please have questions for me, because I want to know that I'm being heard, that we're being heard, and that there are things that might make you want to be part of what we're doing.
BK, would you be kind to introduce, why don't you go ahead and put the PowerPoint down so that if you have members of the CAB attending, you can introduce them and we can see them and hear from them too.
Okay. I don't know what they want to say. I didn't tell them that they had to say anything in particular, but
absolutely. I wanted to be able to thank them.
Okay. Tamika, would you like to introduce yourself and how long you've been part of the KPFT CAB and the work that I've been doing with KPFT? Can you unmute?
Yeah, I am. Sorry. I was multitasking.
Tamika, we would welcome and we would love to hear from you, your perspectives about the CAB, and we're grateful for your hard work with PK and the others on the CAB.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so I think it's been since 2018, PK, when I first started with you, or 2019, I think it was 18, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been a little while. And I don't know, this kind of caught me off guard, guys. So I really don't know exactly where to start, because it's a lot. PK, was there anything specific that you wanted me to address? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you. And let me perhaps pitch in with a question to both of you. I see that you have initiated, or somehow there's been the CABs, talking to CABs across the system. That's a very exciting initiative. Is that something, PK, that you have discussed with Stephanie and others at the PNB? PK, have we lost you?
She's muted. She's muted. There she comes.
I'm sorry. I'm just talking and didn't realize I was muted. We have come together to talk about a national media campaign to look at media across the board. If anybody has been paying attention, media has sensationalized like the Trump network or whether Biden is a good president or not. But communities are struggling, and more podcasters are coming up, and they're saying the radio is dead, but it's not. It's just that it also takes the form of other platforms. And so my hope is that Tamika, who's been a mentee of mine, can tell you that we make these discussions work for us, and then I come to you and talk to them about it.
Okay, we have
Jamie's supposed to be on, and but I told her that we probably wouldn't get to talk until about 8:30. So there's some people who thought it was just public comment, and they wanted to support the cat.
Sure. And we'll be able to come back.
People have their hands up. Are the hands up for me?
That's what I'm following through on, PK.
Oh, okay.
So we've got hands up, Captain Tom, Nancy, and Adriana. Can we start with Captain Tom? And then Richard, sorry. Richard after Adriana. Captain Tom, you're muted.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. My mute button didn't work right.
Wasn't either.
PK, I admire what you are doing. And I've always wanted to be a member of the CAB committee. However, I was not able to get in touch with you. Would you consider me being a member?
Well, we're going to start doing better at that. I'm going to tell you that the real problem was the time that I had a meeting. I was always putting my link up, and we got Zoom bombed with probably the most diabolical things that I started only putting it up the night of the meetings. And I've talked with everybody on the cabin, said we have to put it up, and if somebody tries and do that again, we'll just deal with it then. But that's the reason. The reason was that it was a very troubling and very hurtful attack. But you know, you live with good times and bad times. But Captain, Tom, I will send you the link and make sure that you're in our list, because it goes to all of our CAB members. But if you hadn't been a part of a CAB, you don't get it regularly. But I'll put you on it, most definitely.
Well, thank you, PK. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Sorry. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, may I make my public comment now, or do you want to
continue? Yeah. Would you mind if we go through this round with PK and then come back to you for public comment?
No, not at all.
Great. Okay. And Nancy, let me comment that.
Go ahead, Susan.
Frank has asked to have the PowerPoint shared. And so we'll make sure that everybody gets that. I think next up on the list is maybe Nancy.
Yes. My question is, have y'all met, all the different cabs? I mean, I don't think all the stations have a cab, do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
and I put the list of the chairs. You know, at every station, including ours, there's a kind of divisiveness. And so that some of them have it, but, somebody from every cab, we've come together, including if not the chair, the vice chair, but the people who we've talked to and have looked at what we're talking about, because we believe in transparency, their names are on this PowerPoint list at the particular stations. So those individuals are there. And we're talking about, you know, having a, you know, five station cab once a month to talk about what's going on. We think that would be one of the goals that, outcomes that we like to see happen, that the Community Advisory Board is a national, program as well.
Well, that's
Adriana.
Congratulations.
Sorry, Nancy.
That is a big, step, forward. And it was only a KPFT cab that was actually functioning for a while. So I really applaud the KPFT cab, because now you got all five cabs actually in existence. Wow, this is fantastic news. And then you're going to have a once a month meeting with all five stations. That is just fantastic. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about programming programming, what you call diversity. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Adriana, and then Richard.
Yes. Thank you. I heard that somebody, well, we need to be sure. We need to know that CAP is totally independent from governance. Doesn't need the authorization of anybody, the executive director, the PMB, of anybody else. They are totally independent with governance. And I'm really glad that all the stations are doing that, because if we want to funds from the CPB, we need to be sure that one of those things that are a requirement. And I'm really, really happy that they are functioning. Thank you, PK. Can you send all that information by email? Because some of the members, LSB members in this meeting are joining by phone and they couldn't see the presentation. I send you an email, Susan, about that.
I will do that. And the other thing that I'm going to be consistent about after I come back from Africa, I'm leaving on Sunday for an international summit. But the good thing is that in 2018, we came together as a CAB and we created this table talk matrix of what we needed to talk about. And it might not be a bad way to do business otherwise for different committees. And I'm happy to send that matrix to you. But what happened was that people started asking for it from other stations, and then they came together and created their own CABs. So I'm grateful to meet all of us. Matthew is out of the country right now. He normally would have, he gets on when I'm on. You know, Jamie shows up, that the ones that are on the CAB do show up. A lot of times they don't say anything because they feel like they're not being heard. But my goal is to inspire them to want to stick it out rather than just saying it's never going to work, because it will. Richard?
Yeah, that PK, that was a great PowerPoint and a lot of information there, and must have taken a lot of time to put it together. Thank you for bringing it tonight. You guys are doing good work, and I've heard you say a couple of times, PK, that you know that you've encountered rudeness and maybe beyond several times. And I'm sorry for that. And I, you know, there's no way I know who it was, and I can't really apologize for that person. But I'd like to apologize for our LSB that people talk like that or act like that. You guys are doing good work, and we do appreciate it. You know, however we can work with you, I think everybody wants to work with you.
I want to work with you too, Richard. Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. I have said to a few of you who are on here that we've had conversations, I miss our friendships. You know, I didn't just show up in 2017. I had a show for 7 years.
I listened to it.
It was called the Peace Hour. That's not something that I think about. That's what I do.
In fact, I think I've called in. I think I've called in before.
I think the thing is that it might not have been anybody here, but it's kind of like what's happening in our government right now.
Yeah.
Some people speaking to other people, they don't know that they're going to do that kind of thing. But the thing that scared me the most, and Tamika was saying this at the time that it happened, was that generally I have kids in high school and stuff that come to my meetings because I want to see this up live and personal. And that could have been one of those times that I had a 15 or a 16-year-old on. And yes, I did take it personally because it hurt, but it also was just somebody with a small mind. But my sister walked away. My sister said, I don't want to be a part of that. Tamika, a young woman that I have nurtured and mentored, you know, she comes because of me. I know that. but at the same time, I have a duty to protect them. And so I wasn't trying to not be transparent. And when I was talking about the task force, I wasn't the one that was making the rules. The people that were going to do it, and there was more than one group, I was getting them to give us that information. And I don't know why it didn't work exactly, but if we take the attitude that you just took right now, Richard, I think we'd be a lot further ahead in our efforts.
Well, I think we're all ready to work with you, and we do need to get some training, just to knock off some barnacles that we don't even know we have. You know, so, I make the mistake a lot of time of thinking I'm saying something funny, and I hurt people's feelings, and I go, wait a minute, I was trying to be funny, but we can all learn, and I think we're all ready to learn, and we appreciate what y'all are doing.
So we've got, I've got three hands up. Ted has just joined us. Ted, our current conversation is about the cab.
I'm just announcing that I'm present for the purposes of roll call.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Ted. Nancy, did you have another question or comment about the cab?
Yes, two things. The cab, according to Sandy, IGM, he said, if you have an announcement of your committee meetings and or the community advisory board, certainly they have meetings, please get the script to announce it to Howard at kpft.org so he can get it on the air. That's a way the cab can grow. And the other thing is that the communications motion or resolution of the PNB in 2021 includes a cab report on the air and a committee of inclusion report as well. So keep that in mind because you're overdue for a report to the membership. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. And by the way, PK, have a wonderful trip to Africa. We need to hear more. Really? We have two things coming up right now. One, Captain Tom is a member of the public, and the other is that Stephanie Wells has joined us to follow up on what basically PK teed up very nicely, which is the relationship with CPB and submission for funding. Tom, would you rather speak in advance of that or after that?
I'll go ahead and speak in advance of that.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to point out that I am running for the LSB, and I'm very proud to be able to serve this board in many ways. I have, however, stepped down as chair of the outreach committee and have been consulting with Teresa. So her and I are working together on both committees. And I'm still going to be a proud member of KPFT and use my volunteer time to improve station. That's all I have, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Well, I thank you. I hope everybody got something out of it. And send me an email, perrymack@gmail.com, if you have any issues. But the KPFT cab2020@gmail.com is where everything normally goes. But I don't
thank
mind
you
getting
me
a
back personal. In. Okay, Stephanie, I'm looking at all my tiles. I think you're here somewhere. And let me introduce you. You have spoken to our board several times, and we're grateful every time we get a lot of very good information. Stephanie Wells is the executive director, which is the CEO position for the Pacifica Foundation. And I have asked her, I thought it was a good idea when we were hearing about the CAB efforts from PK, that we understand better how this fits into the whole CPB funding question, because Pacifica has not had funding for quite a period of time, and there are a number of ways in which we are not meeting the necessary standards. So I thought you might be able to give us a good briefing about that. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to the meeting. And to, I think, answer your question to PK earlier, they were kind enough, the group of CAB members from all the stations invited me to a meeting a while ago, and I was able to listen to their concerns, and PK shared her PowerPoint as well. And it was a very helpful discussion just to kind of hear what the CABs were doing. And I called them asking some questions regarding the things that I needed to answer for the CPB application. And so I appreciate that they were kind enough to give me quite a few hours of their time on a Friday evening so we could work together answering some of those questions on the application. But we have submitted an application to CPB for funding, and it was submitted on behalf of, since we haven't had funding for a while, we had to submit on behalf of the entire organization, which is, you know, we are one nonprofit foundation. So the application was submitted on behalf of the Pacifica Foundation, and then I provided individual stats as requested for each of the stations. It was the positive thing, we won't hear whether we have received funding or not until October of this year. And then any sort of questions, and that would be funding for 2024. And then any questions or comments or, you know, any clarifications that CPB has, they will contact me prior to that. But they received the application on time. There were quite a few exhibits and attachments that they needed to upload. So those were put on a secondary site as per their request, and they were able to upload all of those. The part that I think was very eye-opening is that it let all the general managers and the program directors, and I worked very closely with everybody for, you know, a couple of months prior to put together a lot of the information. It opened our eyes to, as Susan was saying, a lot of things that we need to just put into place. Some very simple things, but, you know, they requested, for example, floor plans of all of our stations with the sizes of all of the rooms, and then pictures of each of those rooms and lists of staff members and, you know, how long they worked and what their positions were. Program grids with descriptions of each of the programs. So there were a lot of information that we have, but we didn't really have a lot of that easily and readily available. So it was nice to be able to put all of that together, have it in one central place. So as we reach out to other foundations for funding, we have a nice development library where we can pull a lot of that documentation that usually, you know, exists. A lot of foundations have that already in existence. And it's also given us a nice checklist of just things that we need to do moving forward, and to make sure that whether we receive funding from CPB for, you know, 2024 or not, at least we know what things we need to do in order to stay in compliance. A meeting, as I said, with the CAB representatives from each of the stations was extremely helpful. The CPB focuses more on CAB involvement than they do with LSBs. So it was nice to be able to give them a nice structure on the application of how we work with our governance system, why we have the LSBs, why we have the CABs, the importance that all of them play in keeping our foundation and our stations running smoothly. So hopefully, we've gotten at least in the door. I had conversations with CPB individuals last year, but this way, you know, at least by now submitting an application, we have a contact person that's there that's been assigned to the application. So we'll be able to have good open discussion with them moving forward. Does anybody have any questions?
I've got a question. What is the likelihood of our getting funding?
In my heart of hearts, I'm saying yes, 100%. We deserve it and we do, and we're doing good work. But it's very difficult to determine with any foundation. You know, there are some things that we just don't have. You know, we don't pay for, Nielsen ratings or the Radio Research Consortium ratings. And we were required to submit ratings for two three-month periods in the spring of 2022, the spring of 2023, and the past 3 to 4 months of, spring of 2022, spring of 2021, and then the past 3 to 4 months of 2023. And this application was due in May. So we would have had to submit up, you know, ratings for February, March, April. So those are things we don't have when a lot of the stations and when the foundation in general has had to cut back on certain expenses. Those were often the first to go. So there was a lot of explaining. I was able to pull some ratings from some sites, and I was able to find some of the stations that did have historical documents that they just by chance had saved, or a general manager was able to find in archived emails with some of those ratings. But, you know, we just don't have those. So a lot of, you know, there were certain sections of the application where I did have to explain that we just don't have the funding for this, and we were able to receive and pay for Nielsen ratings or Radio Research Consortium ratings back in the day when we were receiving funding from CPB. So it really was a significant hit on us, not just financially, but just in our general operations, that we weren't able to afford some of these things. So I'm hoping that they will be able to see the impact of the loss of funding and how it has affected our organization for a lengthy period of time, and that we are putting things in place and company policies in place that we can, you know, make sure that we, if we do receive funding, that we can fill out those grant reports accurately. And we will have the information that they need in order for us to, you know, continue as a strong foundation.
Okay, I have Nancy and PK. Both have your hands up. Nancy?
Yes. Could I also raise my hand? This is Joseph.
Okay, sorry, Joseph. Thank you.
ED, I'd like to ask a question. We've all always heard that KPFT and KPFK do not, they lack the both stations lack the required membership in order to get CPB grant funding. And do you have those numbers? If so, I would like to know what they are, especially for KPFT. And
there
also
isn't...
about the
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say there isn't a required membership for the application. There were concerns that KPFT didn't have enough employees, but again, we weren't applying for each individual station. We were applying as the foundation as a whole, since we're one foundation with one 501c3. But there are no requirements for memberships. We had to reach a certain number of listeners based upon our population served, based upon a contour map of our signal areas. And so that was a formula that, you know, we did get the contour maps and compared that to the most recent census of those areas served. And then from that, they pull our ratings and determine if we are reaching the percentage of people that we should be reaching in the areas that our signal serves. But there is no requirement for membership.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. If it's, then I think other people in Pacifica are also misunderstanding this point too. Okay, thank you very much about this. And also, are you aware that the communications resolution that passed in, I think, 2021 includes the ED and the business manager on the air with a national town hall with call-ins from the membership? That needs to be done, and that would be very interesting for the membership to hear from you. Are you planning to do that?
Yeah, I am. I have been informed of that motion quite a few times, and I have done quite a few town halls at each of the stations individually and have had an opportunity for listeners from each of the stations to call in and ask questions. As far as a national program, we have yet to determine with all of the stations involved when we could air that. But well, it is something that I'm aware of, and we need to figure out and work with the program directors when we can schedule a time that it would work nationwide.
Please do. Thank you.
EK. And then
I'll let Joseph go because I have talked too much, but Joseph, go ahead.
Can you hear me? This is Joseph. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was just going to ask, because you mentioned the requirement for ratings, and it seems like you said you couldn't afford Nielsen or something else, and I'm wondering, is there any kind of a low-cost or no-cost ratings means that we can use for CPV grant giving? Because otherwise it seems like kind of a trap that we're being forced to spend a lot of money to get money. So I'm just kind of wondering, have we researched, or is there any other possibility for ratings? Thank you.
Unfortunately, the only ratings that CPB accepts are Nielsen. And Radio Research Consortium pulls their ratings from Nielsen. So even by putting in Radio Research Consortium ratings, we have to justify in the application why we pay for RRC and not Nielsen.
Thank you.
That sounds a little bit like a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where equity really comes in, because what they're doing really, and I've talked to a couple of people, within that, nonprofit of funding, and that has a lot to do with the equity that they talk about all the time. Equal is everybody has a stool to get up on to look over the fence. Equity, however, is if even getting on the stool, you can't see over the fence, you can't see what other people see. Or if you get to go first, you can't. So we thought about writing a letter about CPB funding, especially after what happened with COVID in 2008 when, we kind of had a depression and all the issues that affect nonprofit radio. And that's part of this media conversation, that the five stations could really end up getting money, say, from like the Pew Charitable Trust. But what would it entail is the history and the parts that a lot of times we don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about the hole in the door in the back since nobody can see it, but there's a hole in the door and we need to fix that. And I think that that comes from town hall meetings and surveys among us, among Pacifica, and taking the high road that we are going to really not just celebrate DEI or diversity, equity, and inclusion, but a kind of justice issue where we try and make things equitable for those who might not ordinarily get a chance. And I'll just say this last thing, that when you talk about money, you know, it is that every programmer has the same equity to be able to raise money, but that's not true. And yet what the mission of Pacifica is about education, and there's another way to fund those things. So that's the reason that I think that we have really kind of joined together across the five stations, is because some of us have the tools and some of us don't. And we didn't own the tools and we gave it to everybody.
Thank you very much, PK. Are there more questions for Stephanie? Our next item up should be Pacifica National Board reports. Okay, if there are no more questions for Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Richard, do you have a question?
I don't really have a question. I was just going to thank Stephanie for keeping us in the loop.
Thank you very much. And I know you've got lots of hard work and you join us at weird times and we appreciate it very much.
That's okay. And anybody can contact me or ask questions anytime. Just, you know, I'm always open to take a phone call or an email. So no worries about that. But thank you for inviting me and letting me be here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's move forward with the Pacifica National Board reports.
Okay, Susan, just let me say this because we're getting ready to leave. We've got
sure
meetings, but Jamie Lawson is here, and along with Tamika Atum Ra was here, but he had to go as well. But we thank you for listening to us, and maybe this is the start of something new.
I think it sounded very positive today. And thanks to you and Jamie and Tamika and Richard for setting the right tone. That's wonderful. And Jamie, I'm sorry that I didn't notice you earlier. And was there anything you wanted to say?
No, sorry that I popped on late, but I know just from what I'm hearing, I think this is the most beautiful KPFT Pacifica related call I've ever been on. And I really mean it. I just think the harmony and the all of it just sounds.
Thank you very much. Thank you for what you do. You bring the right heart to it.
PK know how to get a hold of me.
And PK, have a fabulous trip to Africa. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really important. Okay. Let me ask our, Pacifica National Board members to, make their reports. So, I'm going to start with the last of the alphabet. Egberto Willis, are you still there?
I am here. I missed the last programmers meeting, but after reading the report, nothing to report to the LSB, the other committee. I'm not prepared to talk on it right now. I forgot what we discussed. I'm sorry.
Okie dokie. Marianne Martinez.
Yes, ma'am. We just elected a chairwoman to the governance committee. And we should be having our first official meeting very soon. Other than that, don't have much of a report at this time.
Adriana.
I thought I was on the governance committee when before it was put on hiatus or whatever. And nope. I didn't get information about the meeting until like about 15 minutes before the meeting. So I just wanted to let that be known because I thought I was on it and just
so we'll get that's the local station board committee and we'll get to that conversation soon.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Absolutely. So Adriana, do you have a report?
No.
Okay. Teresa. You're muted. Teresa, muted. Teresa, we can't hear you.
Okay, Teresa. That's better. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm on the personnel committee, and we are in the process of selecting our chair, and we are gathering information to evaluate our executive director. So that's one committee that's working hard. I'm on the finance committee. We have been meeting with some of the representatives from the stations with their budgets. And I must say, I mean, I encourage you to get with me if you have some feelings about these things, but I am opposed to deficit budgets. So that's what I'm working on somehow. working through those problems because we have stations that are not paying central services, and that's what pays all kinds of things like, you know, our archives, and our staff, like Markeisha, and it pays our director's insurance and such. So I'm opposed to deficit spending, and I'd be happy to talk to you about it if you want to give me a call.
Elections,
yes. Elections, we're just jumped right into it. We have a timeline. The elections committee recommended that we extend the period of time that a person could submit to be a candidate, but for 1 week after the deadline for people to be a member. And I have not heard back on that yet. In fact, the election supervisor, because of a conflict, was not on our last elections meeting. So,
and who is the election supervisor?
Well, there's an election supervisor is Renee Penalosa, and there's another person named Craig Dunkerley who is supposed to be helping with problem solving, communications, research, assisting people who want to become candidates. And to our credit, we have three people who have offered to pay for elections. And that was one reason why we didn't have elections last year, because we did not have the money. Yeah. And we started having meetings about raising money to have elections when other more pressing, dire financial situations came up. KPFK is in the process of selling its building, and our executive director is working on a number of things. I can't really go into detail because these are things that are discussed in executive session, but when you have a situation like that involves real estate or personnel, it will be covered in executive session and it will be confidential, but we're working very hard on that. Is there anything else? Nothing else comes to mind right now.
There are three sets of questions. Hands up, Sister Mama Sonia. Sister Mama Sonia, do you have a question?
Is she muted?
Yes. Ted, do you have a question? I'll come back.
I'm sorry, I didn't put it down last time.
Okay. Ted.
Yes, my question is to the members of the PNB, of course. Approximately how many PNB and PNB committee meetings have there been in the last month since you last reported to LSB? And why have you, with the exception of Teresa, have so little to report to us? That's to all of them, except Teresa.
Well, I'll answer the question about the meetings.
No, okay.
You can go to KPFTX and you can see the meetings, for example. Like on June 5th, there was the National Personnel meeting. And, on the 6th, there was a KPFT development and a local MSRC meeting on Wednesday the 7th, there's KPFT finance committee meeting. There was a PNB elections meeting. Thursday there was a PNB meeting. So we have a lot of meetings and I am for doing work between the meetings.
Teresa, my question was just PNB full board meetings and committee meetings, and why do your colleagues have so little to report?
Well, if Berto's on technology committee, maybe he doesn't really have any.
I'm asking them to answer that question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer.
Adriana?
Yes. I'm not in any committees of the PMB. I wasn't voted in any committees of the PMB. And like I said before, the three other members of KPFT delegates vote against allowing me to receive some of the information. We have two meetings till now. This month in June, we have the regular meeting June 1st. And last week, last Thursday, we have an executive session. And next Thursday, we have a regular meeting. I like I said, a lot of information. I don't have it. Hope that when I receive it, some of the information we cannot share. The one, this is an executive session we have at the end of our meetings. The PMB, we discuss and it's been approved what can be bring to our LSPs. We cannot talk about some things unless that the PMB, as a group, authorize us to talk, even in executive session, to our LSPs.
Thank you, Adriana. Nancy. Nancy, did you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. Teresa, are you aware, you said that the NES, the National Election Supervisor, is working with another person named Craig Dunkerley.
Yes.
Are you aware that Craig Dunkerley is a former LSB from KPFA? And this is not a good, this is like a conflict of interest. I mean, I don't know the guy at all, but I've seen his name and he's been on the board many times. I don't understand why this is happening. So you better tell the elections committee. This should not be happening. Another thing is the strange vote of the PNB not to allow Adriana to have access to the copies of signed contracts, including the Lovett sale, sale of our former property. I'm asking and appealing to the other PNB directors. I just wonder if they have copies of it. And if they do, why don't they share them with Adriana? And if they don't, then why did they vote not to share them with Adriana? I mean, if there are other PNB directors, I'm wondering, who also do not have access to all the signed contracts, that would be terrible because it was 10 yes and 10 no. That means besides Adriana, there's 9 other PNB directors that possibly did not get copies of the signed contracts, or I still don't understand that. I'd like to make a motion that this board strongly recommend to the PNB to allow all PNB members their right of having copies of signed contracts, all of them, including the sale from the sale of KPFT property forward. I'm presenting that as a motion.
Is there a second?
Is
there a second?
I did ask before that I made my motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Yes. Please speak in favor, Nancy.
Let me say something.
Yes.
Procedurally, I guess. Nancy, remember you got to type that up and send it to everybody, but especially send it to me because it has to go in the minutes.
I'll send everybody.
Okay, so we'll keep going on while Nancy types that up and we'll come back to it.
This is Joseph Davis. Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, do I have the floor?
Please go ahead and ask it.
Okay, I just wanted to address this point. I thought my question is to Member Castaneve. My understanding of the bylaws is that director inspection is a function of the bylaws, and therefore it is not possible for the PNB or anyone to, it would be illegal for the PNB to limit access under director inspection in the bylaws. So can you explain that to me? Thank you.
Yes.
Adriana, do you wish to address that?
Yes. I arrived, I was, I believe, the only new member in this year from the PNB. And the first thing that I asked, obviously, because I'm not in the PNB, I wasn't in the PNB for a long period of time, I asked for...
Point of order.
Yes, Ted, what's your point of order?
I can't understand what she's saying because of the typing sound that's clicking in the background.
Which is Nancy typing the motion.
Well, can she can you request?
And that's not a point of order.
Request. A point of order is that I can't hear. That is a point of order.
That's a point of personal privilege.
Tell me that, Richard. God damn it.
Ted. Ted. Okay. Adriana, continue.
Okay, then the first thing, one of the first things, even before being in the board, when I knew that I was elected, I asked for some information because, you know, you are getting into a board. And I told the entire board at some point in time, I mean, you know, it's my right. The California Corporation for Nonprofit said that directors have unrestricted access to information. I understand that a lot of people doesn't have the information. We don't have a big national office. But I was asking at least the information that exists that somebody has to send it to me. Because when you make decisions, you need to make decisions with the documents in front of you. And it's absolutely... you know, it's not only unprecedented, it's even legal for somebody to prevent a director for having that information. But the first thing that I received was after insisting during month and month, I received a little bit and some of the contracts, I want to see some contracts. And they sent me the contract without signature. And immediately I said, you know, a contract without a signature means nothing. It's not a contract. It's a piece of paper. It's an intent. But for me, a document is a contract that is being signed. That's why I require that. And I was answered that, well, you know, they don't feel confident giving some of that information. I understand. That's why I understand that nobody, sometimes people don't have the time to do that. But I was hoping that the directors that are from last year and the previous year will have that information. They should, they must have that information. And I was hoping that the one that have it, send it to me. I didn't ask for any of the lawyer or the chair or any of the executive director to stop doing what they are doing and send me that information. I was asking at some point in time, imagine we are in June, in the last 6 months, somebody could send that information to me. And then
Let me just ask a quick question of you, Adriana. Okay, do you know whether there is any director who has that information who has not provided it to you? Adriana?
Can you let me finish what I'm
saying? Well, you're going on very long, Adriana.
I asked for a motion. I put a motion in the PNB in open session to direct some of the people that have the information to send it to me.
Point of information.
As we stand, we have 10, the votes was 10 to 10 that didn't pass. But what I worry that the three other directors from KPFT voted against that. And
there's a point of information. Teresa, what's your point of information?
Point of information doesn't interrupt, Madam Chair. You should know that, right?
Well, point of order. point of order, I guess, and point of information. Is there a time limit? Because I believe that this member has spoken more than 2 minutes on her issue.
I do believe that it makes sense for us to establish time limits. I do not know that we have that officially yet, but I think we need to do that. Nancy, do you have your motion? Do you have your motion written yet?
Yes, okay. Already sent about 3 minutes ago.
You sent it where? Where did you send it, Nancy?
I sent it to the LSP and to the PNB and to the executive director.
Would you,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Joseph. Since I'm on the phone, could you read the motion so that I can know what it is? Thank you.
Nancy, would you please read the motion? Nancy, you're muted. Would you please read the motion? Nancy, you are muted. Will you please read the motion?
My smartphone does not register what I sent until several minutes later or maybe an hour later. So if somebody who received it could read it, because no, I don't get things. I don't get things really quick.
All right. I am going to ask that we table this motion until the next meeting so that we can have the motion and be able to see it. It will be on, old business, unfinished business in the next meeting. Okay. Committees and task forces. Committee of Inclusion. Convener, Adriana Kostanev.
Yes. Let me tell you. Yeah, we have, you know, some members, I don't know if it's because if, you know, during the summer and they are going out, but was very difficult to make everybody agree with the date. Then I select the date. The next meeting of the Committee of Inclusion will be July 7th and it's posted there. Okay? Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Next, MSRC. I have served as the convener. Jane has been the secretary pro tem. Jane, would you be kind to make the report?
Yes, we met on June 6th, and there were 9 members present, including our new member, Joseph Davis, 2 excused absences, guest appearances by Stephanie Wells, as well as Darlene Pagano and Stuart Nance. Chair pro tem and secretary pro tem were appointed with no objections. Susan is the chair pro tem, and we should be getting a ballot for a regular election for chair and secretary before our next meeting on June 27th. There were no other nominations or volunteers, but the email ballot will allow for write-ins if that comes up. There was some discussion of standing and special rules regarding evaluation of personnel. And we have a small committee under the leadership of Joseph Davis who is looking at what the other stations do and developing a structure and a framework for the evaluation of personnel. And the other thing that came up in the meeting, which may or may not be strictly speaking the business of the MSRC, it might be governance. We were talking about the non-disclosure agreement. Susan, do you remember that conversation? And
yes.
Have we made any progress on getting that out to all the members of the LSC?
So my apologies. I offered to follow through on it, and I have tried to get it out from the most current version out of the Pacifica board chair and Pacifica secretary. Do not have them yet. And as soon as I do, I will circulate it to everybody and we will hustle everybody in to get those signed. Basically, without a signed NDA, no one should be participating in any confidential conversations. And those were what Adriana and others have talked about before. Thank you, Jane.
My understanding is our next meeting is June 27th.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Teresa. Teresa, do you have questions? Nancy, do you have questions?
No questions.
Okay. Next committee up is finance, and really we had that report. Matt gave that report in conjunction with the budget. Governance, convener Uzel.
Okay, we got convened on May the 25th, and we've got 23 members in the committee. And then all that's gone to Otis to go to wherever it goes. Goes into a chart, I think somewhere. We had an election for secretary pro tem. And I think that is Susan Young. Yeah. And then we had, had a chair pro tem thing, and I'm the chair pro tem. We asked the people that were there from the national governance committee to give us an update on what they were doing, and apparently they weren't doing much. They weren't reaching quorum, so that went on. But then we spent most of the rest of the meeting just talking and going around and around and around, I guess, the room. I don't know how long that went on, but we just talked about the different things that we might do or might not do, or, you know, why we would do them and why not. And just kind of got to know each other a little bit. Our next meeting is sometime in the future. It's June the 22nd at 7:00 on Zoom. And at that meeting, we're going to nominate our permanent chair and secretary.
Okay, there are hands up. Nancy? Okay, her hand went down. Teresa.
Okay, so you would like me to report on development and also
no,
outreach?
No, no, we're, at the moment, we're getting questions about governance. Sister Mama Sonia.
I'm sorry.
Sonia?
Sorry.
No problem.
Let me
Sister
put my
Mama
hand
Sonia?
Down.
Yes, prior to the governance being whatever it happened, I thought I was on the governance committee. And then when I did get information about the meeting, it was like 15 or 20 minutes before. So I was already at another meeting and I couldn't attend. So I would like to be added to it, because I thought that's where I was on it already.
So that's requesting an excused absence as of that meeting.
I don't even think it could go against my absences at all. I don't know how many absences you can have, because since I never knew about it, I couldn't even ask for an excused absence.
Okay, so I posted it at, I don't know, several weeks before, and sent out stuff on it. But that's fine. You know, sometimes we get mixed, we pass in the night, as it were. Does that go to the back to the committee to vote on that, or do we vote on it here?
Yeah, no, at the committee. But I it seems to me that, I mean, that'll be for the minutes of the committee.
Okay. The meeting is on Thursday night at 7:00, not tomorrow night, but the following, the 22nd, at 7:00. And I'll be sending out that Zoom information again. And if you don't hear from me, just get in touch and.
Yeah, now I know that there is a meeting to be asked for, but I will be in Los Angeles next Thursday. So I'll already ask for an excused absence. That would be my first one, excused absence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I will pass that along. And we'll go ahead, even though you're not there, I don't anticipate any reason, not to grant you that excuse absence for the first meeting, but,
or for the second one. We can get into what that is like for this, but basically, yes, it means you were an eligible voting member of the committee from the first meeting.
Okay. We now have 24 people on that committee.
Okay. Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair. According to what was presented in one of the last meetings, the standing and special rules said that the members need to ask the LSP, not the committee, the LSP, in the next LSP meeting, need to ask for that excuse absence if they have any reason why they were not there. That's why I'm asking for that excuse. Thank you. It's okay. Special and standing rules. That is
from 2019. They're different from the 2015 that you were bringing forward.
Exactly. It's the 2019.
The one which section and number is that in there?
Richard, we were in the meeting and I sent it, Bill Crozier sent it to everybody. And you have it there. I will look for. But it's exactly what they said.
I'm not talking about the standing rules. I'm saying, where is this thing that you're citing? What number? Give me a number.
It's what I'm saying. From the special and standing rule that we are modified in 2019.
May we take this offline and make sure that the records are correct when we're able to sit and look at them? I think we want to do everything in conformance with the standing rules. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
And what was your question about it, Adriana?
That you have to get it approved at the LSB meeting, not in the committee meeting. I would wish we wouldn't go through this anymore.
Well, Susan, I need to know what we're talking about so we can.
Okay.
So you're talking about.
Mr. Chair, this is Joseph.
You're talking, just a second, you're talking about the excused absence for Mama Sonia? Is that the excused absence you're concerned about, Adriana?
Adriana, both, yes.
And what was, and who both? Can you hear me, Adriana?
Yes.
What are you asking is what I'm asking you.
Exactly the same thing. Sister Mama Sonia asked for the excuse absence for this first meeting that she couldn't attend.
Yeah, we're going to take care of that.
Okay, thank you. And I'm asking the same.
And question, how many excuse absences does one get?
I don't know that there's any limit.
Oh, okay. So I want to make sure.
You just got to remember to ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Outreach and development.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Outreach and development.
Okay.
Teresa. Okay. Let's go on to task forces and we'll come back to Teresa when she's back in. Henry Faust.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Great.
So we still have a letter of intent with the Park Foundation. It's on Texas transgender issues.
Contracts.
Yeah, I need to check on
that. Nancy, need to mute yourself.
Also, I've asked Robin, because of all the finance stuff, to do the letter intent for the Union Pacific. It's local grants. That's for the DEI training. That's really all I have to report. And I'm going to try to call Robin tomorrow, talk to her about all this.
Good stuff now that the fund drive is over.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Mama Sonia, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep trying to put it down.
I know. It's hard to. I'm the same way.
I'm on my phone. Yeah, I'm on my phone.
Okay. Fundraising task force. Nisi is not here.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are we ready to talk about? I'm sorry. I could not tell whether I was on mute or not. I'm also on my phone. But I want to say that Frank Pratka had offered to attend prior to the Pride Parade to mingle and distribute flyers, quarter flyers, or cards that promote KPFT and our program that you, with a code on it that you can use your phone to look at the program and such, or donate, to pass those out to the crowd prior to the parade. I mean, people assemble a long time before the parade, and there's in a, what do you say, a staging area, all the floats and such. And this would have been a great opportunity for us to pass out literature for KPFT. We have not received any notification from any of the programmers that they would want to participate in this. If there's any member of the KPFT who would like to pass out this literature prior to the Pride Parade, which is on June 24th, would you speak up now? We can get together and I can put you together with Pratka so you can attend together. And if any of you know any people that are programmers, I think it would be great if the programmers promote their shows at this event. It's a great time to maybe have some conversations with people that are prospective listeners to KPFT or already listeners or already members. Anyway, that's the biggest thing, that Outreach is working on, other than the fact that I'm encouraging all people to join the KPFT Facebook page and like things and share things, especially if programmers mention, events or people that they're going to be interviewing, you know, tell people about that. So that's the outreach report.
Any questions for Teresa?
Okay.
We have no unfinished business. We have no new business.
I would like to say something about development.
Okay.
Okay. Our next pledge drive is going to be starting in August, on August 10th. And that is Tom Harper's birthday. Perhaps we have a person who will, for everyone that pledges on that day, if they would like to mention happy birthday to Tom Harper, they will donate $1 or $5 or something to KPFT. I thought that might be fun. I attended the Grant People's event, and that was a lot of fun. And I attended the Guy Clark event. That was wonderful. Although I must say at that event, there wasn't enough, people didn't really mingle and chat, like they did at the Grant People's event. We are looking for a musician or a speaker who would like to, have an event. Chrisanda Thibodeau was going to schedule something this month at 14 Pews. And I was, I told her that I was not able to do that. If there is someone who would like to help with that fundraiser, please contact, Chrisanda Thibodeau, because to my knowledge, it's still happening. And we are also still working on a challenge fund for the next pledge drive. I think it always improves, a pledge drive when people do some of the work in advance. So we have a little pot of money prior to the pledge drive. So if anyone here has an idea for that, please see me. Thank you.
Are there questions for Teresa about the development efforts? Okay. Then I think we have no unfinished business, no new business. The next meeting is July 12th. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn. Teresa Allen moves to adjourn.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any objection?
No.
We are adjourned. Thank y'all.